Fred Film Radio, il cinema ritrovato, Bologna, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2017 Il Cinema Ritrovato in Bologna, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Mark Kidell.
Hi.
You're presenting a film here called Becoming Cary Grant. So thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, it's an unusual documentary. It's 85 minutes long. It's not the usual biopic. It doesn't go in for a kind of clearly chronological account of Cary Grant's life, but it's an attempt to understand a little bit of the dynamic between the person he was born as, was Archie Leach. He was came from a working class neighbourhood in Bristol.
Right.
And the Cary Grant was the star that everybody knows. It's that was a tension throughout his life. He was given the name Cary Grant when he signed his first big contract with a studio, with Paramount, in 1932. And the film explores the tension between his working class origins, which he put behind him, and this figure that he became, that he kind of invented with the help of some of the great directors that he worked with.
So as crazy as it may seem, some of our listeners may not be familiar with Cary Grant. Now, would you care to maybe tell us a little bit about him?
Well, Cary Grant was a young Englishman who came from a working class area of Bristol in the southwest of England. And he had a troubled childhood. His mother disappeared when he was 11. He came back from school one day and she was just no longer there. He assumed that she was dead. Nobody would really talk about it. He was too shy or thought it was something just grown-ups did. And she disappeared. And this left him with a real problem in relation. I'm not talking about him now as a film star. I'm talking about him as a person, because the film is primarily about him as a person.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a film about his career, about his relationships with actresses and actors, or his relationship with the directors. It doesn't really go into that,
right.
Barely at all. It's a film about his own inner journey as a person.
Yeah.
So it's important for the film.
Yes.
To tell the story of his mother disappearing, but I mean, it's not essential to understanding him as a film actor.
Right.
He joined a troupe of acrobats very, very young. He was a person with immense courage, and he was very, very much an adventurer, in spite of the wounds he'd suffered and the traumas he'd suffered as a kid. He joined a group of grand acrobats called the Pender Troupe, and eventually they went to the States when he was 17 and toured around the States. And when they finished their tour a couple of years later, the troupe went back to England, but Cary Grant decided to stay, which is an extraordinary thing. He was only 19,
yeah.
And decided to kind of try his luck in New York. And he managed to get, you know, he had a difficult time, but managed to get parts in vaudeville. He was by that time a good comic. He was quite a good straight man in comic acts, and then managed to get into musical comedies. He couldn't sing very well, but he was unbelievably good looking from when he was a child onwards. This was a great asset for him. Not just good looking, but he had a tremendous charm. He was very self-possessed, and was very tall, moved very well because of all the stuff he'd done with the acrobats. I mean, this is one of the things that distinguishes him on screen, was that he's almost dancing the whole time. He's not quite Fred Astaire, but I mean, there's a grace about the way he falls, the way he moves, the way he seduces women.
Yeah.
And it's a very cool approach. It's not overdone.
Yes. Actually, strangely enough, you notice it is his acrobatic skills in some of the lesser movies, I find. Because I was thinking of The Bachelor and the Bobby Soxer role I was watching the movie. And there's a scene in which he has like a race with a younger kid, and you get to see him move in ways in which he didn't really have to do with other characters of his. But that's just as a side note. This movie goes beyond the character of Cary Grant. And it talks about his personal life, so I'm curious of how you conducted your research and what your sources were.
Well, there's a variety of sources. I read a lot of the biographies. None of them are particularly good. There are a lot of factual errors in them. There's a new biography being written by the person who's our editorial consultant, Mark Glancy, who's a teacher at London University. And he's done a lot of original research rather than using the other biographies, which is what a lot of journalists tend to do who write biographies of just about anybody. He's very passionate about Cary Grant. So, you know, you read stuff, you watch the movies, you talk to people who know about him. I was in touch with David Thompson, who's in the film, who's a friend, the film historian, lives in San Francisco. And then we contacted his family, and that was tremendously useful because his fifth wife, Barbara James, who lives in L.A., had kept... Cary Grant was a hoarder. He kept a lot of stuff from the past, newspaper cuttings, and also a lot of movies that he shot himself in the 1930s. And these have been seen a little bit, but people have tended to use the bits where he appears, where it's not him actually filming, but they're shots of him. They're very good. Using his camera, usually would have been his girlfriend filming him or something like that. But he actually shot the greater part of the stuff he shot himself, and they're unbelievably extraordinary, and they're all colour, pretty well all colour from the late 1930s. I think there was a kind of vogue, because you can see other people in the shots using these. They look a bit like a Bolex. I don't know the name of the camera, but it's a small mute camera that you could use. And he had a very good eye, so pretty well all the shots that he made are really well framed, and he could pan and tilt, you know, and start with a good frame and finish with a good frame. So he was one of those natural camera operators.
Right.
And when I saw that, I realised that this was something we could use. By that stage, I'd discovered, reading around, that he'd taken LSDs therapeutically in the late 1950s for 3 years, and that this was a really important moment in his life. It kind of transformed it. He took it round about the time that he did North by Northwest, which is possibly his most famous film, the Hitchcock film. And I'd been worried. I wanted to use the LSD sessions, because he talked about having relived his whole life while he took the LSD. I thought this would be a good narrative thread, sort of, and he wrote a sort of autobiography afterwards, kind of it was never published or anything, but it gives an account of what he went through and looking back at his childhood and that sort of thing. And I've used that as a voiceover in the film, with the actor Jonathan Pryce voicing Cary Grant in the English version. But I had no idea initially how I would present this visually. I didn't want to do sort of terrible psychedelic sequences, you know, that would imitate what other people have done more or less well in the past, particularly during the 1960s. But I did look at Roger Corman's The Trip, which is quite a well-known acid film. I looked at Easy Rider again, which is a very important film for me when I was a student. I was doing my master's in the US, and I remember seeing Easy Rider, and there's a fantastic trip sequence in that, which I made my editor look at for our trip sequences, because it's not a particularly psychedelic one. It's just it does show quite well what an experience on acid can be like. I mean, I took acid a few times in the 1960s, so I know what I'm talking about. So it was quite useful to have experienced it. I mean, obviously everybody's acid trip is different. It's like everybody's dreams are different. So I don't know quite what went on in Cary's head. But we did have these movies that he shot 20 years before, and they weren't shot while taking acid, but they're still, when you pick up a camera, whether it's your iPhone or your smartphone, and you start filming and start taking photographs, that reveals a lot about who you are. It's like doing automatic writing. And so as we started working with this material, I realized that it was authentic, because it was in a way expressing Cary Grant's, you were going inside his head and seeing how he saw the world.
Yeah.
And so I think that in the end works extremely well in the film. I'm very pleased with that.
Well, it's also about being creative, maybe, on using facts but being very creative with them, right?
Yeah. That's right. Well, it's always, you know, that's why I make films about artists and writers and painters, composers, musicians, because if you're making a film about somebody who works creatively, you're immediately inspired by their creative journey, and it helps one. You know, I never make a film in a kind of, you wouldn't do documentaries, you certainly don't do it for money, but you don't do it in order to do factual stuff, otherwise you'd sort of work for an encyclopedia or something. You want to do something that honours the creativity of the people that you're making the film about. And with Cary Grant, these movies of his were so, so inspiring.
Right, and you use a number of movies as well in the film.
It was very, very difficult, because I realised very early on, when I was thinking about how the film should be put together, that I wanted to move in and out of his head. So we want to be inside his head at certain times, using his voiceover, so that we're kind of with him very intimately. And then at other times, pull back. I mean, unlike Listen to Me, Marlon, the very good documentary about Marlon Brando, which is inside Marlon Brando's head the whole time using his audio recordings, I knew I couldn't do that because I didn't have that sort of material, and I didn't want to do the same film. I like that film enormously. I think it's very good. So we had to find a way of using the film clips sometimes as if they were part of what Cary Grant was experiencing under acid, sort of remembering some part of a film. And at other times, to kind of illustrate things that are more objective contributors, we got Mark Glancy, the film historian, and we got David Thompson, also a film historian, who talk about Cary Grant, and they talk a little bit about his evolution as an actor and the kind of dynamic between that and his life off the set. I'm slightly distracted by the thunder. I love thunderstorms. It's very exciting. But then the business of knitting these things together was really not very easy. I mean, one of the best questions I had at my Q&A at Edinburgh Film Festival last week was from somebody who said, you've got all these very disparate bits. You know, you've got the voiceover, you've got the home movies, you've got extracts from movies, and you've also got sort of newsreel from the time. And it must have been very difficult putting them together, and it was. At one point, I was tearing my hair out because I felt it would look very clunky, kind of moving from a, you know, you're in there, you're having a trip. You know, I remember writing notes with the editor, trip sequence, and then not trip sequence, and then trip sequence. And the nice thing is that people who watch the film say that they don't really notice the way it's put together. They kind of, and that's what one was always trying for in a film, is you don't want people to notice the good editing or the good shooting. You just want them to be completely drawn into the film.
Yeah, and to me, also, though, you do have sort of a primary kind of source material that hasn't really been read before, and that's the autobiography of Cary Grant. Now, you said that it hadn't been published. How did you get, how were you able to have access to it?
It's very simple. It exists on a, you know, we sort of comb the internet the way one does nowadays. That's a large part of research, is to comb the internet. And there is a site, and I can't remember, I think it's called www.carygrant.com. Oh. I mean, it's a fan site. It's run by fans, and as far as I can tell, it's not run anymore. I think it's dormant, but it's accessible. But I don't think anybody's adding anything to it. I don't think our film is mentioned on it, for instance. And I tried to contact, there's a woman's name, and I don't know where she's based, and I did the usual thing, contact on the website to see if we could get hold of her and find out more about where she found this document. And it's there on the website. It says the autobiography, and it's there, all 70 pages of it. You can download and print it. And some of it was published in Ladies' Home Journal, because after he took the LSD, he did this remarkable thing, which a lot of people don't know, or unless you're old enough to remember. Somebody who didn't like being interviewed a lot, but he went to two very, very general audience kind of publications. He didn't go to the New York Review of Books, where it didn't exist then, but I mean, he didn't go to... And High Times didn't exist or anything like that. He went to Ladies' Home Journal and Good Housekeeping, can you imagine? saying that, I want to talk about my experience on LSD because it's been extraordinarily positive and I want everybody to know. And he basically, in the interview, said everybody should take it, which was a good 10 years before Timothy Leary advised that everybody should take it. And then, of course, they slammed him into prison and it was made illegal and everything. In Cary's time, it was not illegal. It was a drug that was used by psychiatrists in various countries, Czechoslovakia, by Stanislav Grof. It was used in England, used in Canada, and used in the USA. It was also used by the CIA and the British Army and the Department of Defense in the US for other purposes. I mean, they were hoping to use it as a weapon.
Yeah.
And they were very naive about that, and it didn't really work out. But I've lost my thread there. You've got to relaunch me with another question.
Well, you were talking about the articles that Cary Grant.
That's right. Indeed. Yeah. So part of this so-called autobiography was published in Ladies' Home Journal, but only a tiny amount. And the rest of it, we didn't quite know how it made it, where it was. I mean, even his fifth wife didn't really know where it came from. What I've been able to piece together, and this is. It's not. I can't guarantee this as being sort of fact-checked and accurate. He was interviewed by a Hollywood journalist, quite well-known Hollywood journalist at the time, called Joe Himes, who interviewed absolutely everybody, Marlon Brando, you know, Gregory Peck, Marilyn Monroe. He did lots of in-depth interviews with people, and he interviewed Cary about the acid. It was about to be published in a series of articles in the New York Times, and at the very last minute, Cary Grant said, no, I don't want it published, by which time it was already typeset. In those days, type was set, literally. Yeah. It was, you know, big lead words, you know, and letters that was, you know, you couldn't just, it wasn't like putting something online that you can sort of do in 2 seconds.
Sure, yeah.
This was sort of, and Joe Himes said, I'm really sorry, you know, the New York Times are publishing it next Saturday or whatever it was for the Saturday Review. And so Cary Grant then sued him, or put an injunction on him, and so the thing had to be pulled. And Joe Himes sued him because Cary Grant basically was saying, this guy never interviewed me, it's not true, these interviews are fake. And then Joe Himes came back and had photographs of him actually with a tape recorder on the set of Operation Petticoat in 1958, I think. No, it was later than that. But anyway, there was proof. He also had audio, which had disappeared. We hunted and hunted and hunted, because there's no question that when Joe Himes interviewed him, it was audio.
Really fascinating stuff.
So subsequently, the deal was Joe Himes gave Cary Grant a brand new Rolls Royce. Cary Grant said he could do his biography. So they then sat down over a period of months, and Joe Himes did very long interviews with Cary Grant, all on audio, again, which we've not been able to trace, although the Joe Himes archive is absolutely packed with interviews with, you know, some of the great Hollywood stars. But we've checked with it's the university in Salt Lake City. They haven't got a Cary Grant one. And Joe Himes' widow went through. She's got a big container full of stuff. and she went through it for me. I mean, I was in touch with her, and she couldn't find any audio of this interview. I mean, it may exist out there. It would be extraordinary. So then it was transcribed, and then Cary Grant had a look at the transcription and then decided he didn't want a biography done. He was going to rewrite the transcription. And I think that's what the unpublished autobiography is. I think it's the early stages of rewriting the transcription of an interview made by Joe Himes. I mean, it's a long, convoluted story. Probably right. Too long for your program, but
Well, it goes to show, though, the amount of work and investigations that take place behind the scenes, especially when you're making a film like this, like Becoming Cary Grant. And yes, we have gone a little over the time, but before we say goodbye and wish you all the best, I do want to ask you, why did you decide to make a movie on Cary Grant?
Well, I didn't decide. Well, I did decide, but I was asked. I mean, some of the films that I do come from me, and they come from some deep-seated passion. I mean, I'm working on a film about Sly and the Family Stone at the moment.
Oh, lovely.
And I've been working on it for a very long time, and that's something that I've really wanted to do. Another film has just come out that's also been long in the making. So I haven't watched it yet. It was on in Edinburgh, but not while I was there. But with Cary Grant, I was approached by an English producer who lives in France and a German producer who lives in France, and they, I was recommended by Arte, the French TV channel, as a possible director. Mm. And I hadn't really thought a great deal about Cary Grant up to that point. Obviously, I knew who he was. I'd seen some of the screwball comedies. I was not a particular fan, not particularly knowledgeable about Cary Grant.
I see.
And often those make the best films. You go in there fresh with a lot of I'm somebody that's naturally curious.
And you
start looking under stones and, you know, you start looking in the sort of under the carpet and you find all sorts of stuff. And it's not all under the carpet. You just start living that person, you know, day after day, watching the films and beginning to knit something together and discovering the story in their lives.
Because yeah.
I think we all have a story in our lives somehow or other that comes through.
Yeah.
Even the poorest, most significant person has got a story. Everybody has a story.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, especially in this film says a lot about Cary Grant that is not known, that a lot of people don't know. So that's really fascinating to find out, to discover a lot about Cary Grant, who's been talked about. Numerous books, even by critics, historians, but this documentary definitely reveals some of the things that are not known about Cary Grant. The great Cary Grant, I am a big fan. And now that you're familiar with his works, some of your favourite movies that he starred in?
Oh, well, I think all the Hitchcock films, yes. So that's North by Northwest, To Catch a Thief, Suspicion, Notorious. I'm a great Hitchcock fan, so I think all those films are a very good Hitchcock. And then I really like None But the Lonely Heart, which is directed by Clifford Odets, who'd never directed a film before, who was a left-wing Communist Party member, writer. That's a rather extraordinary film we quote at some length because it corresponds really well with Cary Grant's life. Bringing Out Baby, The Awful Truth, you know, and Holiday. Not the names escape me, but I mean, all the films he did with Katharine Hepburn. Generally, I think they were an extraordinary pair. They set each other off in the most remarkable way.
Yes, Philadelphia Story.
That's the one.
Okay, so thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure talking with you about your movie, Becoming Cary Grant, and Cary Grant himself, who is always worth talking about. And thank you to the Thunderstorm. This is the first interview I ever recorded with a thunderstorm in the background, but I think it's going to make it sound very good.
Very dramatic. Yeah.
Yes, very dramatic. And so thank you very much once again, and I wish you all the best.
Okay, thank you very much, Matt.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.